Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall podcast or broadcast. Same thing, really. My name is Will Koontz. This is the pilot episode of this new series giving you insights into the minds that run St. Petersburg. We got sitting with me. I'll tell you what, guys. How about I just have you introduce yourselves? That'd be good. Go ahead, sure. Kev.
Kevin King, Chief of Staff in the Mayor's Office.
I'm Ben Kirby. I'm the Communications Director in the Mayor's Office.
Communications Director means, explain this to me, like I am Will Koontz.
Yeah, really, Will, what it means is I do whatever the Mayor and the Deputy Mayor and the Kev and the Chief of Staff, Kevin, tell me to do.
The Kev. The Kev.
The Kev. We call him the Kevin. I was hoping that wouldn't come out so soon on the radio show, but here it is. Really, you know, it's a lot of writing, press releases, a lot of content. We do a newsletter. I produce that. A lot of social media. The job of communications director generally has changed over the years. I mean, Facebook's a big deal now. Twitter's a big deal. So there's a lot of production around that. Help with the TV show whenever we can. TV station, whenever we can, St. Pete TV. And manage the mayor. He's a busy guy, and we have him booked doing a lot of stuff a lot of the time. So making sure he's got the right words to say when he goes out into the city and out into the nation talking about Florida's best city.
Ben has a tough job. He left out sort of the day-to-day media relations.
Oh, man.
Just fielding phone calls. And
how could I forget?
The more proactive we are, the more we do, the more calls come in, and the mayor's very proactive. So he deals with a lot of newspaper, websites, magazine, all the alternative media, radio. Will Koontz,
of course, number one priority. I'm
yes.
sure
yeah, it
for
is.
You guys, definitely. What is there a typical day to day that the mayor goes through, or does it change every day?
I've never. If there's a day to day, it's never been predictable to me.
I mean, it's sort of, you know, every day is different. But we try to sort of have a flow to the day a little bit. You know, it is different, though. Every day is, we haven't had 2 days alike in 2.5 years that we've been here. And then, you know, sort of the interesting thing about this is you can plan and have a calendar, may or have a set schedule, and then you have to react to something during the day. And then we scurry around to change his schedule or change our schedules. So it's as reactionary as anything, which is frustrating when you want to, you know, be proactive and plan and get things done. You end up reacting a lot to the events in the city or in the world. You know, it's no different than any branch of government, state or national, best laid plans, and then something happens. So you call an audible and say, okay, we got to cancel that meeting. Got to go do this.
Is there, Kevin? Is there a day to day for you, like that, or are you just doing stuff that the mayor can't get to? Like, what is your role as chief?
The deputy mayor is really sort of the person who steps in the most for the mayor. She has her own set of responsibilities, really great responsibilities, but she also will pinch hit for the mayor on occasion. I would like to get out of City Hall more, but I try to stay in the office and focus on the day-to-day operations to make sure that, you know, the mayor's outside a lot. He's at events, meeting with people. And so I try to kind of be a steady manager in City Hall for the mayor's office and let Ben go out with the mayor a lot. In the field or whoever, you know, he could be accompanied by his education director or his government relations director or his cultural affairs director. We try to make sure that he's well staffed, and I try to just keep the trains running.
You know, you got to remember, Will, there's something like 3,000 people work for the city somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it took some time. There's a learning curve. I mean, the things that a city does, that people in a city do, from pick up your trash to keep the citizens safe, police and fire, to, you know, like Alan Delisle's people that go around town and bring businesses here and provide incentives to things you never even think about. People working on the budget, people working on the pier, people, you know, working to make our neighborhoods a better place, better places to be, even better than they already are. There's thousands of people. There's a couple thousand people or more doing all that stuff every single day. And so from my perspective, it's great because you never know. You're going to get a call one day. Maybe it'll be about, hey, is your recycling program working? Why or why not? Or the next day, maybe you get a phone call. You know, sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. Hey, you know, what's happening in the south side of St. Petersburg? Or, hey, what's happening with this parcel of land? What's going to happen there? And what does the mayor think about it? You know, everybody wants to know what he thinks about it. And so there's a lot to manage. There's a lot going on. The mayor, you remember this, Kevin, remember when he went up to Washington with a handful of other mayors and he met with Obama in the White House, and the president said, you know, look, I've got a Republican Congress here and I can't do that much on the federal level. Cities are where, you know, policy, the policy rubber hits the road. You guys are the ones making a difference. And I think about that almost every day. I mean, you know, you can see when he does something, you can see it make a difference. And there he is.
There he is, walking in.
I think Ben has bored the audience sufficiently enough.
No, it's not boring because I feel this way. I was talking with you, Mayor Rick, about this when we did the podcast. I think people focus too heavy on national politics when you really can't do much about that. Where people should really get involved is at the local level, because that's where your voice actually means something. We can go in and talk to you, and you'll actually listen.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. I just got back from Philadelphia and attended a discussion with seven other mayors. And that's exactly the subject matter we were talking about, which is, you know, the gridlock of Washington and often of Tallahassee. And how on the local level, we can't have that. We have to get things done. We have to do things. And how the federal government, certainly under this president, unlike what I've seen historically, has recognized that if they want to see things happen, if they want to get things done, they look to local government. They're looking to mayors and city councils all over the country. We believe they could even be doing more than they're doing, and going directly to us, because, you know, as people like to say, when I was serving in the state legislature, I could go grocery shopping, I'd go have dinner, nobody knew who I was. You serve in local government, whether it's me or it's a city council member, you go grocery shopping, you go out to dinner, everybody knows who you are. If you're not taking care of the roads, if you're not picking up their garbage, if you're not doing the things that you need to do, keeping the parks looking good, giving the community that quality of life that they deserve, they're going to let you know it.
Yes, I bet. Have you had any rough experiences with that? Or they? I mean, I'm sure they can't all be good.
Well, face to face, no. I'm sure now I'm...
People are very polite.
Yeah, they are. Now somebody will... I'm opening the door for somebody to come out and really give it to me.
Well, also, Mayor, though, you started going grocery shopping in South Pasadena, I believe.
No, I kind of go back and forth between the two stores.
I mean, you go to another city, you go eat at another city.
There's so many great restaurants here. It's hard to leave St. Pete to go out to eat.
No, there's.
What's your home address in case anybody wants to, and private phone number maybe?
I'm in Old Northeast. No, this community, the people in this community are, I think, they're very passionate. First off, what impresses me so much is how much people love this city. I mean, they really genuinely love this city, and you can't say that about a lot of other cities. The people in those communities aren't the same way. They're really passionate here, but they're also very, I think it's very kind, and they are very kind, which is, I hear that from people visiting all the time, is how nice the people are. So even, I think, if somebody doesn't like something that I'm doing, they don't come up and they don't get in my face about it, but they'll say, hey, Mayor, can I talk to you about You know, for example, going back in time, you know, curbside recycling. Can I talk to you about that? And I'm like, well, sure. You know, and they're very polite in how they express their opinion, but they're not afraid in this community to express their opinion, which is a good thing. I don't think that's the case in every city. I think in other cities, people do get in their elected officials' faces, and not in nice ways sometimes. We're lucky. That's what makes this city so special.
Well, it appears you guys are doing a great job, too, because, Kev, you were telling me before we started recording that mm-hmm. you guys got a honor today.
We did. Wallet Hub is a, credit card website?
Kind of a personal finance website.
Yeah. They do these pretty exhaustive sort of research on cities, and they'll release rankings on occasion. I think last year they did something like best cities to retire in, or sometimes they'll do some goofy stuff like, you know, best city for Halloween, for example. They released one yesterday or this week that was the best run cities in America. And St. Petersburg was number 48 nationwide. But more importantly, the best city in Florida, best run city in Florida. And it's something to be proud of. And it's nice to have affirmation from kind of a outside source, letting folks know what we sort of feel like is happening. But when you read about it and other people get to see it, it's very helpful and it's nice.
So this is—it's not just a Florida website. This is like a nationwide or worldwide.
Yeah, it's a national thing, and they ranked 150 cities, I believe. We were 48, so we're in the top third nationwide, number one in Florida, and even sort of cooler is they ranked the sort of subcategories or cross tabs of this thing is they ranked us 21st in the nation. I believe in terms of economic strength, mm-hmm. Somewhere in the 30s in terms of financial stability. And this is like music to our ears because we've been telling the public a lot and trying to get the message in the media about how Mayor Kreisman and this administration and the city is now managing the finances of the city and the fiscal stability coming out of the recession. We're as good as we've ever been. I'll let the mayor sort of chime in on that.
Yeah, and I mean, it was one of the things I talked a lot about when I was running for this job, is that I felt like we were the fourth largest city in the state, but we weren't being run like it, you know. And I wanted to make sure that we stepped up our game and we started to run the city like we were a big city, because we are a big city. I mean, we're blessed in that we're a big city, but we feel like a small community. And so, you know, we are in our third budget year. In our first 2 years, we finished in the black. We have invested
That's
money.
That's good, right? I get confused.
Black is
yeah,
good.
Black is good.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, black is very good. You don't want to finish in the red. So we finished in the black. We have invested $2 million, I believe it is, into our reserves. We have increased our bond rating. Our pension funds are in great shape. I mean, there are communities around the state that are actually having to look at taxing their residents just because of the condition of their pension funds. And so our pension funds are in great shape. You know, the quality of our programming, of what we're doing in our parks and rec departments, you know, the condition of our parks. We are addressing long-term needs and looking at issues of sustainability. So I'm incredibly proud of the men and women who work for the city of St. Petersburg. I think I have some of the most talented people that are working for us. You know, we made some structural changes to the administration, and I think that has a lot to do with the success we're having, because we've got really smart people in positions where they're doing their job, and they're doing it well.
And we're lowering taxes. The mayor is proposing a tax decrease, which is a very modest decrease. But to be able to do all those things and say, oh, we could give a few bucks back to the residents as well, it's really remarkable.
Yeah, we've in this budget, you know, we heard from the public, we heard from council, and in the proposed budget that council will be voting on, we really, I think, did a really good job of addressing a lot of the concerns, most of the concerns, if not all of them, that were raised. You know, and I've had people say, well, how can you be talking about tax reductions when you've got infrastructure needs? Well, we're investing $58 million in this next fiscal year in our infrastructure, and have committed to increase our funding every year thereafter from where we had been to address the infrastructure. But we're trying to do it in a fiscally responsible manner, and that we're not just throwing money at a problem that isn't going to have an impact. If we're going to spend it, there ought to be a return for what we're spending, and we're going to get that.
And that, by the way, speaking of infrastructure, that Wallet Hub website ranked us number one in infrastructure as well
in the state.
In the state.
Yeah.
In the state. Yeah, that's right.
That's pretty exciting, guys. I got to tell you.
No, there's nothing more exciting than infrastructure.
Yes, absolutely. Budgetary things. They just get my fire burning inside.
Yeah. We're going to need you to calm down.
Well, I did.
We don't want to have to call security.
Yes, absolutely. Not again. Something I was excited to read today, and I take 49% responsibility for this, the Tampa Bay Ferry is happening. We talked about that. That was something that I definitely wanted to see. I want to be able to go to a Lightning game and not have to drive.
Yes.
That would be great, and now I'll be able to do that.
Yeah, this is, in my mind, is really historic because, and thank you for all of your help on this.
Oh, absolutely. It's my pleasure, really.
But, you know, people in St. Petersburg and in Tampa have been talking about, in Pinellas County and Hillsborough, been talking about ferry for decades. You know, you can go back in the history of the city, and there was at one time a ferry operating, but it's been a very, very long time. And you think we are a community surrounded by water. Tampa is a community surrounded by water, but yet we were not utilizing those waterways as a means of getting back and forth in transportation. So, you know, when you're in my seat, you can either sit and wait for it to happen, or you can do things to try and make it happen. And we decided we wanted to do things to try and make it happen. And fortunately, we have worked really hard at developing relationships and partnerships with our friends across the water, both on the Tampa City Council, the Mayor of Tampa, and the Hillsborough County Commission. Along with our Pinellas County commissioners and the county administrators, both in Hillsborough and Pinellas. And I think we have better relationships than we've ever had with those folks. And so you've got four governments that are all coming together and working together and collaboratively to reach a goal, and that is to give our citizens an easier way of getting across the bay, going to a Lightning game, coming across and going to a Rays game.
Yes,
absolutely. Coming from anywhere in Hillsborough County and attending the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, going to Gasparilla, you know, all of these things you will now be able to do in a very comfortable 149-passenger ferry that is going to be reasonably priced. It's going to leave from down by the Museum of History, and it's going to dock over in Tampa over by the convention center. And so the only thing we're waiting on now is we've been able to forward the agreements to all of our partner governments for them to review and vote on next week. Three of the governments will vote next week, the fourth the following Tuesday. And assuming everyone is comfortable with what we've been able to put together, beginning in November, the ferry service will be up and running.
That's great news. I'm really excited. I can't wait to just – I don't even like taking Uber, really, because even Uber can be a little expensive. Is there a price that – do we know for sure how much it's going to be?
Right now we're looking at – and this is tentative, but we're looking at $10 each way. But we also anticipate there will be opportunities to purchase discounted rates if you buy for a week, or even if you buy for a monthly pass. The rate will be discounted, and if you look at what it would cost you to take Uber from downtown St. Pete to downtown Tampa, this will actually be cheaper, and you won't have the risk of an accident on the Howard Franklin that gets you stuck for an hour and a half.
Yes.
Instead, you just sit back, have something to eat or something to drink, read a book, surf on the web while you're riding in comfort across the bay from one side to the other.
What also, about the theme from The Love Boat will play on the whole time, loop over and over.
And Ben Kirby has promised to sing it
personally
on the, yes, on the maiden voyage.
Not even a recording. It's just been 24 hours.
Why? Another the whole time. You know, additional job description.
Mayor left out one thing we learned yesterday is people can bring their bicycles onto the ferry.
Yeah.
And all of this is happening around the time that we start our bike share program. So this fall is going to be really cool in St. Pete. You have bike share and then a ferry to Tampa and just connecting the region.
What about hours of operation? If I wanted to go and maybe have a few drinks down in Channelside.
You enjoy the drinks?
I do on occasion, you know, nothing too crazy, but,
you
know.
Do we have a beer sponsor for this show?
We should.
We will
soon enough. I like to have a grasshopper now and then. That's what my grandmother used to drink. It's melted ice cream
brought
and booze in it.
Beach Blonde Ale.
Beach Blonde Ale. We've got so many great breweries here and in Tampa, both. The Tampa Bay region, it really has become the craft brewery headquarters of the South, I think, but... we're looking at Monday through Friday commuter transit. So if you, as a dear friend of mine who lives in St. Pete and works in Tampa and called me one day or texted me one day and said, Mayor, how quickly is this starting? It's an hour and a half to get to work. This individual will be able to jump on the ferry probably somewhere around 7 a.m. and be over in Tampa by 8. We know that at the convention center does a very big business, and not everybody who goes there, whether it's attendees at the convention or their spouses, want to stay. So now they'll have the opportunity to ride the ferry back to St. Pete during the day at like noon, coming back over here, have lunch, walk around our downtown, go shopping, and then head back over around 3 o'clock. To Tampa, and then for those who are working, you jump on it after work, a little after 5, back home by 6 o'clock, 6:15. Friday nights, there'll be a night, we'll add a route that'll take you in the evening back and forth, and then on Saturday and Sunday, there'll be a couple round trips mid-afternoon, and then in the evening, each of those 2 days.
Evening, like 8 o'clock p.m.?
Returning probably 10, 11 o'clock p.m.
I could still do some damage, I guess, in that time.
If the local governments, by the time this airs, don't approve this, let's just forget about everything the mayor just said, and all of us.
We'll go back and edit this whole episode. It'll be 2 minutes long.
Let's cut all that out.
Yeah, it'll be great. So you were in Philadelphia. You went to the convention. I saw, too, didn't Gary Johnson speak to all the mayors? Like not too long ago, I don't think it was at the convention.
He did at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. At the U.S. Conference of Mayors, we had actually of the, I guess there is a fourth if you talk about the Green Party, but of the three major parties, Libertarian, Democratic, and Republican Party, two of the three candidates came and spoke to the U.S. Conference, Secretary Clinton and Gary Johnson. Donald Trump chose not to come. I think he was laying some bricks somewhere on building a little bit of a wall or something, I heard, so he couldn't be there. But
wow.
Sorry, had to go there.
Now, that was that was your trip to Indianapolis.
That was Indianapolis
and then
for
you
the
were
U.S.
In
Conference
Philly
of Mayors. There was very interesting speeches from both the candidates. Actually, Secretary Clinton spoke to us 2 years ago also at the U.S. Conference, and probably one of the best speeches I've ever heard her give. But we also had a really interesting panel discussion at that conference that your listeners might find interesting because it was the Dalai Lama.
Oh, wow.
You know, and having an opportunity to see the Dalai Lama live speaking to you is really something. But adding to that panel discussion, Lady Gaga. So imagine a discussion with Lady Gaga and the Dalai Lama.
I hope she just sang. Did she actually have stuff
to say? She did not sing. She was part of the discussion, and it was really about.
Did she wear a meat jacket?
No, she. I don't think she thought the Dalai Lama would like that very much. So
she talked about kindness.
It was actually about kindness. And, you know, how do we bring kindness and compassion back into our cities? In light of everything that's been going on around the country, that's certainly a discussion that needs to be had.
And then her and the Dalai Lama announced they're doing a duet.
They're doing
album.
A duet album. They
which
are
is interesting.
Getting the meat jacket ready for Mayor Rick. We're gonna, you know, have it tailored to suit you.
I think that their new group is Dalai Gaga.
Wow.
Ooh, tough room.
Hit that in post.
Yeah, we'll edit that out. No, not a problem. What did you think of Gary Johnson? Because I'm, as a young voter, I'm kind of not thrilled with either of these candidates. Not really thrilled with him, though, either, frankly. I saw him do a speech at CPAC, and I get what he's going for as this libertarian guy. I'm laid back, you know, freedom. But when he walked out with a suit, and then he didn't have anything in his hair, and he had sneakers on.
And he had cool sneakers. At least he did when he came to speak.
But I'm sorry, dude, but you got to put some stuff in your hair, and you have to put on shoes, real shoes.
Yeah. You know, I understand those who are looking at alternatives, but I think, you know, history has taught us a valuable lesson that, you know, even though you have to look at who you vote for, because who you vote for has consequences along with who you don't vote for. And people being frustrated years ago in an election cycle, I won't mention which specific one, but with the candidates and choosing a third alternative basically resulted in someone else being elected that I suspect was probably their last choice. And so I think that the concern I have is you know, if my guess is if for those who aren't thrilled with the two choices, if they were to rank them, that if they vote for the third party candidate, whether it's Gary Johnson or Stein, that they'll end up causing the election of their least favorite candidate. And so I get the principle argument, but, you know, you also have to be realistic and look at what the end result is. And what I fear is that we'll have the same reaction that we saw in England, where, you know, people the day after the vote said, well, I didn't think it would really pass. Well, yeah.
This is serious.
This is serious. This is our future. And, you know, you can't go back the next day and say, oh, I didn't mean it. Once you've cast that ballot, that's it.
You know, there seems to be extremes. Now, there's no real middle ground anymore with everything. There's like culturally, you're either on one side or the other. There's no gray area anymore, which is really frustrating and kind of scary
except
to me.
For
but
Ben's beard.
Yes, it looks
gray.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
The mustache, though,
I know, it's
still
all
hanging on.
Out.
Yeah.
Thank you for not saying there's gray area between my ears.
No, okay. Not the mayor. The mayor, we can only poke at Ben.
Yeah, we don't.
Please do.
But is that, I mean, have you guys noticed that too? I know this is kind of off
topic.
Well,
it's the polarization, right? I mean, everyone's gone to their corners.
But I think it might be a good thing, though, right? Because maybe we need, like, this culture war or something.
Something's happening right now in this country. I think social media has exacerbated
definitely
a lot of this. You know, people enjoy arguing. It's our new town square.
Mm-hmm.
We go at each other.
I don't fight with people
in ways they wouldn't
anymore.
If they were face-to-face, too.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the same people that are polite to the mayor at the restaurant that he talked about, when he goes home and sees it on Facebook, it's totally different.
Yeah, yeah, you see those. I made a pledge that I will not fight with any. I'll fight with you on Twitter if you have a picture of yourself and you have your name up there. If you're anonymous, I don't fight with you.
Yeah, you'll fight if you're not.
I'll definitely fight with you, yeah.
If you're anonymous.
If you're real.
Not anonymous.
If you have a picture of yourself and you have your name,
okay,
your real name, I don't have a problem fighting with you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, just as chaos.
Well, listen to Lady Gaga and Dalai Lama.
No, thanks.
It's kindness.
Be nice.
I don't
be
want
kind.
To.
Just be nice.
Be nice. All right, let's wrap this up here, but let's talk about the Raise event coming up in a couple weeks.
August 19th.
Yeah. What's going on with that?
Baseball Forever.
Baseball Forever
night at Tropicana Field. If you are not going, if you haven't bought your tickets yet, go to raysbaseball.com/baseballforever if you want to sit in the block with all the other Baseball Forever supporters, or if you just want to go and sit wherever you want to, that's okay too.
$10 for upper level seats.
Yeah, we just want people to come out to the game and show your support for the team. It's all about letting them know that this area, they are important to us. We want them to stay, and there's no better way to show it than to be out there and demonstrate that support.
If you go to only one baseball game this summer, make it
this is the one.
This is the one.
$25 lower level tickets, and you get a ball cap.
Yep.
And $10 if you want to sit up top. If you want group seating, get with Josh at J Gallo. JGALLO at RaysBaseball.com. Should be a good game. I'm going to try to get there. I try to get to at least 5 games a year, and I've been pretty good at that. Although they need to do something with the team, cause something ain't working.
Yeah,
it's a little rough.
It's been a tough year for them, and I think they'll be the first ones to admit it. You know,
rebuilding though, kind of. You know,
even the guys on the pitching staff will say they haven't. They haven't performed up to their own expectations of how they've done, and certainly that's a big part of our game. We've had injuries at the wrong time, which for whatever reason seems to hit this team more than others. I don't know why, but you know, when you lose a guy like Kevin Kiermaier or you know, Forsyth goes out, or it hurts because those guys are just talented players. But they'll come back, and you know, you can't. Yeah, it's not reasonable to expect, you know, that this team is going to perform at a high level every single year. You're going to have occasional years where it just doesn't click. But I think they've got great talent, and you know, their management has been incredibly creative with the limitations they've had. And you know, we've had a team that has performed on the field significantly better than an awful lot of other major league teams. For a long time.
Since
so
08.
Yeah, they're kind of entitled to have one off year. I just wish it wasn't this year. As we're working on this, you know, a closing argument, as I like to call it, as to why they need to stay here.
Absolutely, I think the ferry's going to help with that, though. I think that's going to be a big upswing for the Rays. And that the Baseball Forever is August 19th. All right, should we wrap this up? Been about a half an hour. So this is the first one. We're getting the pilot out of the way. We're going to see how it goes. I imagine Kev and Ben will be in here in future ones, and I'm sure the mayor will pop in from time to time as well.
Yeah, we'll bring in some other city staff from time to time and round up some interesting people.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good. Well, thank you guys for having me do this. I appreciate the you guys thinking of me. And if I can be brutish and make a plug for myself.
Please.
The Homemade Broadcast is one of the 100 local podcasts up for Creative Loafing Best of the Bay. I'd love to win that. That'd be cool. So.
And the mayor's nominated for Best Local Politician.
Nice. There you go.
So if you're voting for Will, vote for the mayor.
Yep.
Vote for Will and vote for the mayor.
Ben, are you up for anything?
I'm not up for anything.
I got a weird one. I got a local concert promoter. I've never promoted a concert.
You got nominated for that?
Yeah. I don't know how.
I'm
going to
vote for that, too.
I think it's aspirational. They want you to be a concert promoter.
It could be fate. We'll see how it goes. All right, guys. Ben, Kevin, Mr. Mayor, thank you for joining us. And on the first City Hall podcast, we'll do this twice a month. You can listen. I believe that the city is going to set up an RSS feed, and you can subscribe to it on iTunes. RadioSaintPete.com, you can listen, and it will be in our archive. And I've probably just put it on my RSS feed, too. So HMB Radio. All right, folks, have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.